Good morning and welcome to Sports Talk. Sports Talk is brought to you by the Bank of Maysville. I'm Travis Skaggs. My guest on the show this morning is the sports editor for Link NKY, Evan Dennison. Evan and I will talk about the girls and boys Sweet 16 basketball tournaments at Rupp Arena. Stay tuned. I'll step out for a quick break and come back with Evan Dennison right after this message.
The Bank of Maysville has a long history of building relationships with the businesses in our community. The Bank of Maysville is not just a bank, but a true business partner. That's why they offer a comprehensive range of business services, from a traditional business checking account to online banking. Whether your company is a farm, manufacturing business, professional practice, or nonprofit organization, the Bank of Maysville can help you manage your resources more efficiently. Find out more about what the Bank of Maysville can do for your business. The Bank of Maysville, since 1835. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We've got with us here on Sports Talk, former Ledger Independent sports editor, now sports editor for Link NKY there in Northern Kentucky, Evan Dennison. And Evan, thanks for making some time with us.
Yeah, man. Good to hear from you guys and glad to be on.
You were at the Boys 10th Region Tournament, the semifinals that night. Of course, Campbell goes ahead and wins. They went on a buzzer beater, Jackson 3 there at the end of the game. And you saw Campbell County a lot more than I did this season. But what a season for Coach Souder. Takes over. A lot of people were uncertain on him, including myself. He had been in the system, and first year takes him to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, great job by him and his staff. You know, when you lose a caliber player of Aiden Hamilton and then another 1,000-point scorer in Jake Gross, it's over 3,000 points combined between the two, and, you know, with the new era of losing Eric Russell, you think that's, you know, maybe kind of a rebuild, but, you know, that's not the standard for Campbell County, the culture that's been established there, and I think that's where, you know, the administration was right in that hire and keeping things within and keeping that culture, you know, within those walls with the same, you know, staff for the most part. So, you know, he's caught on and they're a solid team. They share the ball really well, I think, is what sticks out for them.
Yeah, they beat Clark County there in the semifinals. Of course, Clark County, they lost to him in the season with Ashford in a close game Campbell led, but just to beat Clark County is an amazing feat. But then to bounce back and win the region championship, Clark had an incredible run for 4 years, but, you know, the mental fortitude to just continue that. And now head to Rupp Arena. We'll talk about their ninth region opponent here in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, they slayed the dragon is how I kind of dubbed it. You know, I mean, 65 straight wins over 10th region opponents for GRC, and that's quite a run, you know, and it also included a state championship and a state runner-up finish for them. So a four-year run that'll, you know, go down in history for Clark County, but, you know, maybe a little bit of a changing of the guard this week with Campbell County and what the Camels were able to accomplish. And it was a heck of a region tournament. I mean, you guys saw Dandy on Tuesday night, a buzzer beater, and just some more of that fieldhouse magic that we've seen so many times over the years.
Yeah, they'll play Newport there. You still cover the 10th, but cover the 9th a little more in depth. But Newport defeats Cooper there. I saw Newport there in the semifinals. I saw Cooper when they beat Mason, but I went down for the semifinals on Sunday. Huge crowd, electric atmosphere. I know you tweeted that all high schools should play in these arenas to get the experiences for the kids, but what an atmosphere there on Sunday. And then I know the championship game was another outstanding one as well. Newport prevails over a very good Cooper team. I think you said it best when you said Cooper could beat 12 to 13 teams in a Sweet 16. Just unfortunate they're in the 9th region.
Yeah, I mean, if you were just to strictly seed the tournament based on the top 16 teams in the state, I think that the 9th region would have 3 teams in it when you consider Newport, Cooper, and Covington Catholic. All 3 have been, you know, pretty solid. Cooper finally got healthy towards the end of the year, but props to Newport. You know, they lost their star player, Taylen Kinney, less than a minute into the game on Tuesday night. Had a hamstring injury. They had to deal with some adversity there, and their 2 senior guards really stepped up in Jabari Covington and Deshaun Jackson to help them prevail. And, you know, they're going in hot. They've won 24 games in a row. And ever since the calendar kind of pretty much turned to 2024, they've been rolling.
Let's move over to the girls' Sweet 16 a little bit. We'll just talk about it for a second and then jump back to the boys. We're recording this interview here on Wednesday, so time it airs on Friday. Obviously, the first-round games will be over, but I guess the biggest storyline heading into the girls is, can anybody beat Sacred Heart, I assume, Evan?
Well, no, right away. I mean, they're going to play George Rogers Clark in the first round. The unfortunate way of how the ping-pong balls came out at the draw. I mean, that's 2 of your top 3 teams in the state, probably. So getting basically a state semifinal, state championship matchup there in the first round on Thursday at 6 p.m. They'd be, I think, you know, one of the top contenders, but, you know, Sacred Heart's really going to have to earn it this year. If they do win that GRC game, they'll play the winner of Bethlehem and Pikeville. 2 really talented teams. Pikeville, obviously, with Christy Orem, a former Fleming County coach, and Bethlehem with the transfer of Leah Macy, who's a top 10 player in the country for the 2025 class. And if they get through that matchup in the quarterfinals, I'd say they're most likely looking at a matchup with Cooper, who, you know, hails here in the ninth region, a very battle-tested squad. Sacred Hearts beat them twice this year, but, you know, both contests were close, especially there in the second half. I think they're definitely going to have to earn it to get that four-peat this season.
There's a lot of talk online about seeding the Sweet 16 and whatnot. I asked the Doctor of Sports, I had him on last week, and he says he's for seeding it. He says, you know, the RPI, you're going to have to tweak it, do some adjustments, maybe some media polls, whatever. What's your thoughts on the Sweet 16? It's always been the blind draw. Do you think it needs to be seeded? What's your take on it?
Yeah, to avoid matchups like that between, you know, Clark and Sacred Heart, you know, you want to see those matchups maybe later in a tournament, but I think a lot of coaches will tell you, you're going to have to win four games there no matter what. So whether it's your first game that's your toughest or your last one, you just roll with the punches. If they do seed it, which I'm a big fan of seeding, I've always have been, and I'm very familiar with how that seed draw stuff works with the 39th district. I just think if you were to do it, you really do got to tweak that RPI, because if you play a team out of state, you essentially really get punished for it, because it counts it basically as a team that's a 500 record. If you're playing that team that's out of state, and, you know, maybe they're one of the top teams in that state or nationally ranked or whatever, you don't really get much credit for it, because the way the calculations work is they take it as you're a 500 team that you're playing against out of state. So if they were to do it, they definitely have to tweak that. Honestly, go back to football too. Some teams, they play an out-of-state opponent. It really could hurt them down the road, whether it be a state quarterfinal or semifinal matchup, or they might have to go across the state to play, despite them going maybe 9-1 or 10-0 in the regular season, but they had that one out-of-state opponent to bring that RPI down.
This is more of an issue for the KHSAA. I know some people, they've played 1 or 2 years there, the state championship on Sunday, of course the cost at Rupp Arena or whatnot. You know, if you were the Julian Tackett, would you like the championship on a second day on Sunday? I know some people complain about the quick turnaround time, biggest games of their career for boys and girls, you know, that quick turnaround, that 1:30 game. You're getting ready for the next game in, you know, just a few hours. If you had a magic 8-ball or magic wand, would you like it to be moved on Sunday or like it the way it is?
That's money there. That's all that is. I mean, like you've mentioned, it's another day of rent at Rupp Arena that they're not willing to pay. So I'm a big fan of a championship being on its own day, illustrious in itself. But, you know, you play 35-plus games throughout the season, and then your final day of the season, you got to play 2 games in 1 day. A lot of teams don't even do that throughout the year. So it's a little different, but, you know, a lot of these kids, with, you know, the programs they're playing at, they're used to doing it with AAU. I get that argument, but AAU basketball is not the same as a 32-minute high school basketball game at the state tournament. So I'm not a huge fan of it. I'd rather see it on a different day and separate it, you know, make it one game, especially for that team that plays at 1:30. I mean, you win that game and say it runs a little late. I mean, you're looking at a finish after 3 p.m., and then you basically have less than 4 hours to rest, recuperate, and get ready. On top of that, you consider the coaching aspect, just in terms of preparation, being able to scout and prepare for that team. You only have a couple hours to do that, and it's the biggest game of your season. So I'd rather see it on a different day personally. I know there's arguments for and against it, but I'm a big fan of it being on its own day.
Moving over back to the boys' Sweet 16. Again, it's next week, March 20th through the 23rd. You can hear all the games here on Soft 96. Campbell County opening with Newport there. I saw your tweet, and give the distance between those two schools, and, you know, they could play that game in Northern Kentucky. A tough draw for the 10th region, drawing Newport, the Class A state champions.
Yeah, they were supposed to play in the regular season toward the end of the year. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it got snowed out and they had to reschedule. And then it came after the All-A, where Newport was kind of running out of games, had to get some district games in, didn't have the room to end up playing that game. So they usually play every year. I think that dates back to, I think everyone's calling this one the Eric Russell Bowl. I mean, he brought Newport a region title in 2010 and brought them to state, and then obviously his 4 trips with Campbell County to the Sweet 16. So it's a tough matchup for the Campbells. Newport's just, you know, the athleticism that they bring 1 through 5 on the floor is going to be a lot for Campbell County. Key for the Campbells is the ability to spread the ball around. They've got to hit the 3-point shot, similar to what they did against GRC. It's just going to be a tough matchup for them, I think. But, you know, don't doubt this team. I mean, they're coming in hot as well. They've won, I think 9, 10, 11 games in a row. They're playing their best ball at the right time. You know, they're coming in 26-6, but I just think Newport's athleticism might be a little bit too much for them at the end of the day.
What's the biggest storyline headed into the boys' Sweet 16? What's the one thing, I guess, you're looking forward to the most, or one angle, one storyline as we head into next week?
There's a lot of cool storylines, I think. I mean, I think there's about 5 teams making their first trip ever there, so that's really neat. You know, Great Crossing enters as the favorite, I think. They've been the pretty much unanimous number one throughout the season, but heck, you look at on Tuesday night, they needed a buzzer beater just to get here. I think their first 2 games set up for them well to get to the semifinals. Would love to see a Great Crossing Lyon County semifinal matchup. Those two actually played in a preseason scrimmage, and I believe Lyon County won that game 85-83. That was a scrimmage, so, you know, take it for what it's worth. But if we can get a game of that caliber in the semifinals, that would be really intriguing. And then the bottom half of the bracket, I think, you know, it's anyone's game. You know, you got a really good Harlan County team with Trent Noah, solid Division I player. They're going up against Warren Central, who's got Kate Unseld, who's committed to Western Kentucky. Newport Campbell County, of course. Trinity, I think they're probably the favorite to make it out of the bottom half of the bracket, but they could be looking at a Evangel Christian team in the quarterfinals who got two guys that can really play. I got to see them at the All-A State Tournament. They got Christian Dior and Kyron Tilly. So that'll be an interesting matchup if that gets to a Friday night semifinals, and definitely turn to Twitter for that for all the comments, considering how Evangel Christian has, you know, formed. They've only got 37 kids in their school. But
yeah, I was working on their roster today, and I was like, clicked on KHSAA, Evangelical Christian, and it was just like boys basketball. I'm like, okay, that's the only sport they got.
It's not your traditional small school. I think a lot of them, they take like online classes is kind of how it works. I don't believe they actually have like a brick and mortar building. So it's unique. You know, 37 kids in the school, and 10 to 12 of them happen to be really good basketball players. So, you know, a lot of people perceive things, take it for what it's worth. But, I mean, they're all eligible to play basketball. So I know that much. And, you know, I think a very intriguing team. And they'll take on a Butler County team, I think, making their first trip in however many years. They got a kid named Ty Price, who's a 4-star class of 2025. And he's electric. He can score the basketball really well. So excited to see that bottom half of the bracket and how it shapes out. But I'm predicting a Newport Trinity semifinals on Saturday afternoon.
Lyon County, you kind of alluded to it with Travis Perry. They've got a chance to see Great Crossing there in the semifinals. They've got some other players, Shoulders, Reddick. They played Mesa County twice last year, but I think if fans are going down, obviously the UK connection with Travis Perry, but there's no local teams in it, but I'm pulling for Lyon County and seeing them make a run. I think maybe they'll be the fan favorite if they make a run. Small school, Travis Perry, UK effect, whatever, but you know, they've got a, you kind of alluded to it, they've got a great chance as well.
Yeah, this is the year for them. I mean, it's now or never. I mean, I don't think Lyon County's going to see a team like this again in quite some time. The run that they've had over the years, thanks to, like you said, Travis Perry, Jack Reddick, and Brady Shoulders. It's a really solid trio. The Travis Perry effect at UK alone, I think, is going to put 10,000-plus people in the seats for every single one of his games. They start off, you know, it's an afternoon game on Wednesday at 1:30, which I think could be a good thing because that's the day before March Madness starts. So, you know, people will be eager to get down there and watch him play. And they've got, I think it looks like, afternoon games throughout the whole tournament. So they'll play, you know, if they beat Ashland, the 16th region champ, they would play again on Friday at 1:30. Yeah, they'll be a big crowd. They're just a fun team to watch, just how they get up and down the floor. And the last time I looked, they led the state in scoring near 90 points a game. And the one game I got to see them play this year, Newport actually slowed the game down to a snail's pace, took them down the All-A semifinals, and I believe it was like a 50-48 final. So Newport did a great job of controlling the tempo there, and I think a thing to consider, Jack Reddick wasn't 100% that game. So a very interesting run for them, and, you know, again, I'd love to see them versus Great Crossing in the semis. That would be my pick for top half of the bracket in the semis.
What do you got in the championship game? You kind of mentioned Great Crossing and then Lyon, and then I believe you had Newport, I think Trinity. Who do you like getting the state championship and then winning it?
Put me on the spot, man. That's tough. With Newport, it depends on Kenny's health. Last I've heard, it's a hamstring injury, so he's got, you know, 8 days from today to heal. So if he's fully healthy, then I think they're in the championship. I just think Greg Crossing's a little too much this year. Malachi Moreno, he's a stud. I think he's one of the top 25 players in the country as a junior, and he very well could end up at Kentucky as well. So I'm going to go with Great Crossing over Newport in the championship.
Now, you're not a UK fan, so you look at UK objectively, unlike most of us, including myself. How good is this UK team? How far would you put them in your bracket moving forward?
You know, the way they've really turned things around, I think it's hard to not consider them a Final Four candidate. The defensive woes seem to have been not maybe fully corrected, but they're trajecting on the right path, you know, with the talent they have. And I think Rob Dillingham's a stud. Not only Reed Shepherd, I mean, I know his fame is obviously, an efficiency is off the charts, but I think, you know, Dillingham in a tournament like this is a guy that can put together, you know, a run similar to maybe, you know, maybe the Harrison twins, something like that, to where he's the one kind of hitting the big shots late in games. So, I mean, they're one of the biggest wild cards in the country. I mean, depends what team shows up, you know. They could get bounced first round, but I think their seeding's really improved. They're probably looking at a number three seed, so that would improve their chances, I think. As long as they avoid UConn's bracket, I could definitely see them in the Final Four.
You cover Northern Kentucky University as well, the Norris, my alma mater. They got beat there in the semifinals, won their round before that on a missed free throw and a putback, but I know Vincent, the kid from Highlands, was out with an ACL injury all year. I guess that really impacted them and kind of what they did.
Yeah, too many injuries to overcome. To get to that point for them was a solid show of resilience, but their big man went down too later in the season, Kijere. He was very limited down the stretch. So they were essentially down two starters, and that really hurt them. And, you know, what Vincent was able to provide, his just all-around game, was a huge blow to that team that wasn't necessarily too deep this year. But, you know, a solid run for them. I mean, they've been in Division I for 10 years now and have made the NCAA tournament four times. One of those times was wiped away because of COVID. But to be that young and new to make the tournament 4 out of 10 years, I think is a remarkable accomplishment for them.
Well, Evan, thanks for making some time with us. I know we get together there at the Sweet 16. I don't know. I told Ivan Rice, it's like a year-end celebration. You know, obviously it's the biggest show in hoops for the teams, but all the media's there and getting together and fellowshipping and having fun, and obviously some great basketball, but it kind of, you know, puts the end on the winter sports season. And look forward to seeing you, having some fun and fellowship and getting together.
Yeah, it's exciting times. I mean, it's kind of like you said, a celebration. You grind so hard throughout the season, and even as media members, you know, there's nights away from your family and drives you got to make, and then come region tournament time, by the end of it, you're just exhausted. So many games that you got to cover and, you know, pay attention to. So it is a good celebration. It's a good end of the season type event. What better place to have it there in Rupp Arena, and an exciting 2 weeks ahead here for state tournaments.
How can people follow your work? Give your Twitter handle, Evan. I'm sure most people already follow you. And then your all's website where they can check out your work and your publications.
Yeah, it's EvanDennison1 for Twitter. And then linknky.com. You know, we update our sports section daily, produce a lot of content thanks to my freelancers and contributors that help out as well. And, you know, really looking forward to what we got building here. And do miss my people down there, but sometimes you just got to jump at the opportunity that presents itself.
I know it's good to get back to the field house. I saw a lot of people coming up and talking to you. You haven't been gone that long, but I know we miss you here, but neat to see familiar faces and people coming up and, you know, speaking to you.
Yeah, love that place, man. I mean, it looks shiny and new and fresh. Court looked great. Love the new scoreboards. They do a great job down there putting that tournament on. And, you know, I'm a big fan of a bigger arena, but a place like that's pretty special when it comes to high school hoops. And, you know, I think it's just something where it helps build that magic. The fans from the 10th region got to see that over the last week of how competitive that tournament is year in, year out, and just how much fun it is and, you know, the big defining moments that it provides.
Evan, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk more next week.
Thanks a lot.
Again, that was sports editor for Link NKY, Evan Dennison. Stay tuned. I'll step out for a quick break and come back and wrap up Sports Talk right after this message.
People caring about people. That has been the Bank of Maysville's philosophy since they opened their doors in 1835. Big enough to serve you, yet small enough to know you. The Bank of Maysville is right on the money, helping you get a jump on your finances. Checking and savings accounts, automatic bill paying, convenient banking locations, CDs and investment services, online banking, loans, retirement and trust accounts, plus much more. The Bank of Maysville, downtown, West 3rd Street and Walmart Way. Bank of Maysville, the oldest bank in Kentucky. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
As we discussed earlier, the UK Healthcare Boys Sweet 16 is next week at Rupp Arena, March 20th through the 23rd. You can hear all the action right here on Soft 96. Well, that'll do it for Sports Talk this week. Sports Talk is brought to you by the Bank of Maysville. I'm Travis Skaggs. Thanks for tuning in. I hope everyone out there has a great weekend. Sports Talk will return next Friday.